everyone, and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by the amazing, the adaptable, and the accomplished Ariel.
Hey!
Life sure is brutal when you have a cocktail in hand. They say poor decisions make the best cocktails. And in today's episode, these founders are looking to shake up an old-fashioned industry with their product. Will the sharks bite, or will this tall order just be too stiff? We'll see after we pay some bills. Much like the age-old question, to skinny jean or to not skinny jean, marketing strategies can come and go and come back again. Who can keep up? Luckily, there's HubSpot's 2024 State of Marketing Report. It's the all-in-one guide for what's happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy, boosting efficiency, and growth. Don't get caught behind the trends. Visit HubSpot.com/state-of-marketing to get your free copy of the report. Today in the tank, we have Barbie's Bartending, and Barbie's is brought to us from founders Willow and Jess, and they are asking for $75,000 for 10% in their business, which is a $750,000 valuation. Now, their product is Barbie's Bartending, which is a mobile cocktail class company. So essentially how this works is that you provide the liquor and the location and your Barbie's bartender will do the rest. So they will show up and they will teach your group how to make amazing cocktails. The use case of this is really birthday parties or bachelorette parties, corporate team building, etc. And they have a team of over 25 different people across different cities that are really helping bring cocktail cheer to new audiences. So thinking about the product, which is kind of a service, the pitch and these founders, Ariel, initial thoughts.
Jory, Barbie's Bartending, where do we begin? I love how they were able to pivot their business model, considering the fact that they started in 2019. Obviously, the pandemic happened, so they found a lot of success from pivoting from in-person to online. And considering that that's one of their main like selling points is that you have this experience and lessons from like an actual trained bartender. I think the concept itself has a lot of use cases. I think there's a lot of opportunity. They mentioned corporate events like bachelorette parties are like their main sources of events. But there's things like mom's nights or, you know, just hanging out with your friends or, you know, just trying something fun and something different. It's interesting, the bringing the alcohol on your own, I thought was going to be a little bit of a deterrent for some folks.
BYOB.
I don't know. Or I guess like, how does the Barbie know in advance what mixers to bring?
Yeah, surely they get a list or something.
Maybe there are some potential hangups in like signing up and actually scheduling a class. You know, they really want to scale this beyond just the classes. I think they're very focused on how do we expand on a regional-based approach. I think for them, they should make it into like a lifestyle.
Ooh, okay.
The Barbie's bartending lifestyle. Do they come up with a book every year that's like the Barbie's Bible that has all the recipes that they did for classes that year that you can get and gift to a friend? Let's say you're like the main HR person at your company and you're planning events. If you plan 5 or 6 events, do you get a special free event or something? So I think there's a lot of ways that they can keep customers within their ecosystem for more than like a one-time use.
Yeah, and really drilling down into that one-time use. Some of the initial skepticism of the sharks, I think they were curious about right now, the strategy seems that they're scaling by expanding into different cities. But like, what do you do when you've basically run out of traction of viable cities to expand to? So I think finding some kind of sustainability in how you're also encouraging repurchases is a great strategy here.
Yeah.
Just because even in a city itself, there's going to be a limited number of people that this is going to resonate with. So making sure that they're also encouraging ways to get those same customers back, especially if they really enjoyed their experience, I think is going to be really key here. So beyond affiliate marketing, say you were brought on as a consultant, what would be your recommendations for Barbie's in terms of channels they should be leaning into, how they could be expanding or thinking about scale beyond that location-based targeting?
So I think ways to like universally build that community.
Yes.
So things like, do they have content that's based off of, here's our drink recommendation for your horoscope. Little things like that, that like you save and like you share to your friends. Mm-hmm. Here's your like little tarot reading based off of this drink. Or if this drink shows up in your feed, that's a sign that you need to like
sign up for a class with your best girlfriends or something. Mm-hmm. So I think there's fun opportunities within like visual storytelling. I do really like their marketing, both from like a visual, a story, and like a tactic base. So it kind of covers all three areas for me. On a visual level, the Barbie's bartending logo, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's clean. It's crisp yet elegant. The typography itself, the fact that it feels like a very handwritten note, I think reinforces that it is a very personalized kind of event. It's able to capture that so seamlessly and very beautiful imagery. I took a look at their TikTok, see what kind of tactics they're utilizing, like get in front of audiences or find new customers. It seems that they focus a lot on recipes or top mixer recommendations, which I think are totally like the right angle for them to lean into. I think there is some opportunity for them to like consider things around an affiliate marketing or maybe like showcasing the actual experience of a class. I think they have some really strong storytelling with some of the images that they have on their website around like, here's people happy and celebrating and like selling more of the event component of it. But I think they really are posed for building a platform.
Yes.
I think also from a partnership lens, are there different resorts or hotels that like have entertainment nights and stuff
cruises.
When you are on vacation? Cruises, great example. I think there's some fun ways that they could partner with existing outlets that already have like a very strong customer base to expand beyond just that one occasion, one time use.
That's so smart. Yeah. Like get into the kind of vacation realm.
Yeah.
Because I mean, on resorts and in cruise ships, people are kind of trapped. They're bored. Lean into making them take a cocktail class.
Yeah.
I was curious. So I know that there's the potential for this to go into like franchising, which means that it's even more important for the core brand to have a strong vision and a strong story. At the same time, it's not necessarily a product. This to me falls very much into like the service realm. When you think about marketing a service versus like a physical product, are the tactics that you're going to use the same, or are there different ways that you need to be thinking about marketing if you don't actually have that core, like this is a physical thing?
Yeah. I'm going to turn the question back on you, Jory, because I feel like that's a great question from like an academy lens too. But I think it's more so selling the experience. When you have a physical product, it's easier to demo, whereas like you're really relying on a good use case of emotion-based marketing. So you're really focusing on tying into a need that people have. And maybe it's like, oh my God, I'm so bored on vacation.
Yeah.
I think that's like the biggest opportunity for them is to lean more into like, this is why this is a value add. This is why it's something super entertaining or super fun or a great bonding experience. Leaning into that emotion a bit more because it is challenging when you are selling a service as opposed to an actual tangible good.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. I think especially from like the academy lens, it becomes that much more important that whatever the brand is has a personality that kind of resonates and or is a trusted advisor. You need to make it so crystal clear why you're choosing that service, that content over a competitor. In the case of HubSpot Academy, I think that a lot of our authority comes from, there's that sense that we have this like proprietary information we're giving to you and don't you want to use that, of course. But I think what honestly makes people stay is that the professors build content in a way that's super approachable, it's super friendly, and we sort of make you feel like we're your best friends that are like, hey, when it comes to marketing strategy, like, oh my God, you should be doing this. So I think in the case of Barbies, if their brand was a personality, they need to figure out what that personality really is. And they need to figure out what's that value promise that they're giving to the user. So again, looking at HubSpot Academy, it's like, we're going to give you the most up-to-date strategies broken down in an easy to digest way. So for Barbies bartending, what is that? Is it that we're going to give you an experience that you're going to be giggling about with all of your girlfriends for the rest of forever? Or is it that you're going to walk away and you're going to be able to absolutely crush this one cocktail? You're going to be able to make this forever. I think really leveling down on what their value add is for whatever the persona is and making sure that that's so obvious in their messaging, in their branding, in their marketing, and in the training for the folks that are actually delivering the experience is going to be key, because that's ultimately what is going to keep your online defensibility, right? So like for HubSpot Academy, there's hundreds of other academies. We're always constantly evaluating, how do we make sure that we're the one they choose? I think that Barbies just needs to continue to have that conversation. I think that from what I've seen from the pitch, they definitely are already having it, right? Like, it's not something that they have missed. I think as they think about scale, answering that question and having that like really mission-based approach is going to help them be sustainable in the long run.
Be sustainable.
Be, Barbie, be.
Generate some good buzz for their
product. Yeah, generate some buzz. I love that. Okay. So looking at the buzz generated from our sharks, Mark liked the idea. He didn't like the way they were scaling. He was out. Damon was like, service industry, trash. Well, he said it in much a different way.
Love the Jory translation.
But it was Daniel that was like, I love the vision of bringing together and connecting people.
Surprising.
I was like, Daniel, in service.
Like, damn, Daniel.
What is your portfolio? Yeah. So first he offers 20%. They try to counter with 15%. And he's like, you better watch your bees. Yeah,
you're going to lose this deal.
Yeah, I could bring it up to 25%. But ultimately, they settled on 20% for $75,000 in their business or in terms of investment. So Barbie's Bartending walked away with a Shark Tank deal.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well, I do actually have a small update for you. So I know that we talk about a lot that these are handshake deals. It does look like this one has gone through, right? So they're expecting to close with a deal on Daniel shortly after their episode.
Nice.
No numbers on like how the long-term benefits of Shark Tank have helped their business, but it does look like it went through with Daniel. So like all of Daniel's portfolios, we will look for some successful bumps in the future. Barbie's Bartending coming to a city near you. Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave: AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.